We are here. That's right, Roger. We are here at Oaklawn for the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas Directors Summer Conference, and we've had a lot of their folks on. And so really cool right now to have on the person that's going to be giving a motivational presentation this afternoon. It's Jim Morris, who many have heard of the movie The Rookie, the true story of Jim when he was 35 years old and a school teacher. And, yeah, you can't hear that? Okay, that here. Oh, it's like there we go. How about that?
There we go.
Okay. Welcome.
Yeah, as I say, 35-year-old school teacher that turns out to have another shot in the pros, and it's a Disney movie which I watched last night. First of all, Jim, you're here with your wife Shauna. Great to have you. Welcome to Arkansas.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we've got some ties, Roger. While you were away, found out that Jim at one time he played high school football in Texas. From the ages of 15 to 18, and he was actually recruited by Lou Holtz. He's the same age as us, maybe 1 year behind us. But, yeah, 1982, you were recruited by Lou Holtz and chose not to play football, though.
I did. I chose not to play football because everybody told me to play football. And when you're a teenager, you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so baseball was my dream. And my dad was in the military, and we traveled all West Coast, East Coast, and everywhere in between.
Man.
Baseball is what I stuck with.
How many times did you travel? If you've seen the movie, Roger, the guy that played his dad was Brian Cox, who was a well-known, if you'll look him up, Roger, well-known, big-time actor, stage, screen, all that. And I was ready to punch him through the screen last night after about 5 minutes, and you said your dad was even worse than the portrayal that was done in the movie.
Yeah, they did a good job of keeping it G-rated, but it was a rough childhood. So at 15, I moved in with my grandparents from Miami, Florida to Brownwood, Texas. In those 3 years, they tell me what it was like to be a good human being.
Yeah, and it changed your life. Wow. That by doing that, even though they didn't have baseball, Roger, which is crazy, his high school football coach was a superstar football coach, many state championships, but they didn't have baseball. So you were playing in 10-game summer leagues, not 30 or 50 games during the summer, just right. 10 games a summer, that sophomore, junior, and senior year, and that's where you were discovered, correct?
I was discovered, and at first I was going to be a first baseman or center fielder. And then they found out I could throw hard, and then all the positions go out the window, and you get up on the mound.
You betcha. Now, that wasn't talked about in the movie, The Rookie. It sort of jumped to where you were in the high school. You didn't give all the details about your first, because you were drafted in the first round in that special draft, correct?
Right.
So you were a stud when you were young, and you had a shoulder injury, correct?
I had shoulder and elbow. I had Tommy John in 84 that knocked me out for the 85 season, and I never threw that hard. I threw 87, 88, which back then was okay.
Yeah, right.
But I had good movement.
Right.
And then I have the surgery, take off 11 years, and come back throwing 98 to 102.
Here's the crazy thing after watching the movie. I was thinking at 35, you're out there throwing to your high school team, and all the kids can see, wow, this guy can really hum it. And you get your opportunity to throw again. Do you ever go back and wonder, wow, if I had just maybe decided to do this 5 years earlier, when you were 31, you know, I'd have had four more good years. Did that ever cross your mind to think, oh, if I'd just?
Not even for a second. At 28, I had a surgery right as I was playing college football. Our team doctor was like, why'd you quit playing, man? You're such an athlete. And I said, because I haven't thrown a ball in 3 years. My shoulder hurts.
Right.
He did a surgery. He goes, I'll fix it up with a 1-inch scar. You'll be good as new, and you can move on. And he wakes me up during the surgery, and it's 3.5-inch scar, 85% of my deltoid gone.
Wow.
And you'll never pitch again.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why you said, hey, there's no way I can come back. And so watching that movie last night where the scene where, first of all, you get the opportunity, and they buzz you down in the bullpen to come out. It's just, you know, it had to be a surreal moment for you both, you know, the minor league where you started out and then to get that pro opportunity. I mean, just walking out, and I know, so I guess some of your family was there too. I couldn't tell what was accurate in the movie and which was not, but it had to be the coolest thing ever. You know, all of us dream, Roger, as we get older, boy, if I could go back out there and do it one more time. But you lived that. It had to be amazing.
You respect the game a lot more at 35 than you do when you're 19.
Yeah, you bet.
You think you deserve everything.
You bet. Yeah, and so you had 2 years when you went back, and you decided that the 2 years, hey, I've done it, I've accomplished an amazing goal. And you go back to teaching, right?
Well,
or coaching.
We went back to the movie set is what we did, and then my agent goes, "You're going to be a motivational speaker," and as a teacher, I wrote all my notes on the board so I didn't have to talk very much. And I looked at him, I go, "What do you? I don't talk."
Yeah.
He goes, "You'll learn."
Sure.
And then I did, and for 26 years I've been speaking.
And we talked about that. I do a lot of that, or have over the years. And it's a fun way to be able to share your story, get paid for it, get some traveling. Sometimes the traveling can get old, but But it's cool. You can. The cool part about that, Jim, is you get to impress people. You get to motivate people. You get to encourage them. And they can take what you said and all of a sudden walk out, and they may be inspired for the next year because of what you say.
It is amazing how many people come up to me today and go, "You remember me 7 years ago?" I've talked to millions of people. And they're like, "You talked to my group back then, so sure. I brought you in here." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I remember you."
You've got to say that. That's exactly absolutely. Right. You said you've spoken twice in Arkansas, I think, previous, or several times in Arkansas.
Several times in Arkansas. Lawyers, educators. And I can't remember that now, electrical co-op.
Have you had, having done thousands myself, can you recall having a group that just like Dudsville that just weren't into you, or do you remember one that's just wow, over the top crazy, that went crazy for you?
A lot of over the top crazy. The one that was the hardest probably was South Korea. MDRT, Million Dollar Roundtable people, 26 different dialects. So the audience is sitting there.
Oh my goodness.
And it's like 20,000 people. And I would tell a joke. In America, it resonates quickly. You laugh. And in South Korea, it's like, ha ha, ha ha. As it moved around the auditorium.
Yes.
And so I had to learn to slow everything down.
Yes.
And learn that sometimes they don't think what's funny what Americans think is funny.
That's true. I spoke to that reminds me, I spoke to a deaf crowd one time and realized you have to wait. Have to wait for the pay. You wait for that. Usually you wait for the funny response or the laughter, and you have to wait on that. So if you just joined us, by the way, we're visiting with Jim Morris, the story, The Rookie, the movie The Rookie, the Disney movie that came out. Outstanding. I watched it last night. I was going to ask, how much involvement did you have with the movie and the details of that?
I was on the set the whole time.
So you did every day that there wasn't anything done that you weren't aware of. What about the casting part? We talked about Dennis Quaid. You, is that who you wanted to play you, or did you have somebody else in mind?
I didn't have anybody in mind. I thought it was a lark, man. In all reality, 35 years old when I came back, when I started the process, I weighed 250 pounds, so I'm like, "You're going to make a comedy?" And then they're like, "No, A-list actors want to play you." And so you bite. Everybody's thought of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Who wants to play me?" He goes, "Brad Pitt. You have my attention." And then Matthew McConaughey, Aaron Eckhart, Jim Caviezel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jim met me on a plane to New York. He and his wife were going home. I was going to the Hall of Fame. And he goes, "I almost got to play you, but Dennis beat me out." And I said, "Dude, you're way too good looking." and then he played Jesus 2 years
later. How about that? Missed and then he and Dennis got together in Frequency.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. And Dennis, one thing about him, we were talking earlier, he's got that, and I'm sure that's the appeal that you appreciate. He's a likable character in most all of his movies. And so you were happy, I'm sure, once you got Dennis Quaid to play you. I thought it was interesting. You didn't know Brian Cox, really.
No.
Didn't know how big of an actor he was, who was great. Roger, you got to go back and watch it. I've told him I was ready to punch Brian Cox through the TV at first. I thought, what a jerk face. And then to find out that your dad was even worse. But I thought Brian did a really good job as well.
He did do a good job, and after the whole thing, he gets done with his final scene, and everybody gives him a standing ovation. Well, I've taught and coached for 5-6 years already, and I'm like, I haven't seen a movie in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is he? And it's like Brian Cox. I go home, he's on every movie I see.
I know.
Was there a therapeutic thing for you in making this movie, or being a part of that, being on the screen, or anything like that?
Overwhelming is a better word, and surreal. Even today, 62 years old, I wake up, I'm like, did all that stuff happen? And Dennis and I are still friends.
He wrote
the foreword to my second book, Dreammakers. And I cried when I saw it because just of what he thinks of me. Huh. And so we're still friends after all these years.
Did you, if you could go back and change any scene in the movie or tweak something in the movie, would there be a tweak somewhere?
No.
Yeah, happy with the way it turned out.
It's 85% accurate, and Dennis said, take that and run if you can get that from Hollywood.
Yeah, the only thing, to be honest with you, you know, you said about your dad was even worse, and like you said, to keep it P or G, that's what they had to do, was to do that. But I thought it was interesting. The only part that I saw that was just completely different was that the story that the team had said, hey, we'll win district if you'll go try out. And that was not the truth. That was huge. It's a great story. It made the story great. But the reality is that apparently a scout had come by. Or what was it? What was the true story on how that happened?
The true story was my team talked me into it.
To go out to try out.
It was a bet. And they won a district championship, which they'd never been a part of in baseball. And I had to find a tryout at 35, weighing 250, 9 surgeries, and you'll never pitch again from the doctor.
So it was true.
Absolutely.
Well, see, the stuff I read last night said it was not true. That was not
absolutely
the case.
True.
So I'll be done. Well, that makes it even better then. How about that? That's
absolutely
fabulous. Do you ever see any of those guys, those players? Do you hear from them?
Absolutely.
Special group. Yeah, special group, right?
I got one, my third baseman, who was 5'9 when I had him playing third, is now a retired Coast Guard. Back into education, doing ROTC with the high school. He's 6'5 now. I'm like, where were you then, man?
Yes, yeah. And you, I think you threw it in the movie. You were throwing 98, but I think I read somewhere else where you actually you thrown pitches higher than that. Is that right?
Up to 102.
Yeah, which is again back then there weren't as many guys throwing that fast.
Yeah, like Wagner. For lefties.
Yeah. And that was my next question. For your time back in the league, those 2 years, any memories that stand out about those 2 years, any batters you faced or any experiences you had that stand
pitching,
out?
Pitching in Yankee Stadium, pitching in Fenway.
Wow.
When I was 10, our all-star team went to Fenway from Groton, Connecticut, to watch the Red Sox play Hank Aaron in the Milwaukee Braves.
Oh, how cool is that?
I got a baseball signed by Hank Aaron at 10.
Wow.
At 10 and a half, we ran out of baseballs, and I sandlotted Hank Aaron's baseball.
Why is that right? So, and you never, and it was gone.
It was gone.
It was gone. Well, how about that? That's that. That's cool. But yeah. So growing up as a kid, those were some of the heroes that you got to see, and you know.
Well, you have these heroes when you're young, right?
Yeah.
And then you meet them, luckily, and you're like, oh, they're not as good as you thought. Well, Hank Aaron. 30 years later, he and I are ringing the closing bell at the stock market because Russell Athletics, and he's the head endorser. He and I ring the bell together. I'm telling my Sandlot story. He is even a better person than I thought.
How about that?
And it was just amazing.
Who was the best batter you faced in that comeback in those 2 years that you recall just saying, man, this dude is just an unbelievable hitter?
The least person you'd suspect, Omar Vizquel.
Okay.
And I get him 0-2 twice. I throw one 6 inches off the plate. It's 100 miles an hour. He sticks his bat out, hits the right field chalk, double. Get him 0-2 again, throw it 6 inches off the plate inside. Left field chalk, double. I turned around, and he goes, he just shrugs his shoulders.
That's
nice.
Great. That's great.
Nice.
Yeah, and obviously 2 years you felt like, hey, I've 2 years, I've done what I accomplished what I wanted to do and time to.
Well, when you're young, your dream is special, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have kids, your dreams change.
Yeah.
And I had my kids, and I wanted to go home and raise my kids.
Yeah, I think that was part of the movie, too. But, you know, again, I don't know how accurate it was, but you had your two kids at the tryout. You could tell that theme was important to you, the family, and having your wife and the kids show up when you were you performing for the first time. So, again, I love that you wanted that to be a part of the movie.
The second tryout, raining so bad they had to have me a brand-new baseball every pitch. My high school kids are holding my three kids as I'm trying out throwing every pitch, and they're like, we want to sign you. And I'm like, okay. I look at my high school kids, and they're like, you got to sign, coach. I signed a contract. It was a minor league contract. I actually took a pay cut from teaching to play minor league baseball.
How about that? I didn't realize that. That's something. Did you, by the way, I was thinking, I was watching Dennis Quaid throwing the ball. Did you try to help him? Did he ask, hey, can you help me with mechanics or how I should throw? Because obviously he's got the pressure of trying to look like you.
We did a lot of things. Even Jim Gott came in and helped Dennis at Dodger Stadium, mm-hmm. and we did stuff. And so Dennis and I are standing on the mound in Dodger Stadium with the film crew around, and we hear this loud cheering, and I look up, and there's like 500 Japanese tourists with their cameras taking pictures
click,
of
click,
us.
Click, click.
And stupidly, I'm like, yeah, they're for Dennis.
Nice.
Wrapping up things here with Jim Morris. If you haven't seen The Rookie, you ought to rent it again. What year was that? 2002?
2002.
Yeah. We've got a buddy of ours down in Pine Bluff that said, my former boss, Doug Gassaway.
Yeah, my scout.
It was your scout.
Yep.
How about that? Small world, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, with Tampa Bay at the time. So you always appreciate the guys that see the talent. You know, everybody's looking for that bit of help and somebody catching their eye, and obviously you did.
Can I tell you the most incredible thing that happened the whole time?
What's that?
After it was all over and we're on the film set, and every once in a while somebody from Disney would come by Dennis and myself and go, if you had a dinner, who would you have dinner with? And so we're just naming ball players. He's 10 years older, So his group is different than my group. And so we name all these people, and we get to the premiere in New York City. And the night before, we have dinner at the 21 Club with 21 Hall of Famers.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And that was the most amazing moment, because they're like, this is baseball.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you're in the Hall of Fame. And they just loved it. And so if baseball players love it, we'll get away with the hinky pitching of Dennis.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you almost wound up with me. You'd have been my teammate at Arkansas with Lou Holtz in the 1980s. Who was your favorite? Did you have a favorite pro player growing up in Texas? Was it the Cowboys, I would imagine, or somebody else?
The Cowboys, because Tom Landry
yeah.
would come down 3 hours to my grandfather's store in Brownwood, his menswear store, buy a hat, and then wear it on the sidelines of the game.
Oh, cool. He bought those hats from your who?
My grandfather, Ernest Morris Menswear.
Wow. I'll be darned. And he always would buy, any particular reason he used to come down and do that?
They were friends.
Okay.
And my grandfather knew everybody. I didn't know at the time. So I get back as a teenager, I'm like, how do you know Gene Autry? How do you know Tom Landry?
Right.
They fought in the war together.
Right. Oh, is that right? Wow. That's Roger was named after Roger Staubach.
How about that?
Look at that.
Yeah, we were.
And I guess when you go to Texas and you see that
on the
highways and all that, you got to think of your grandfather.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
That's a great idea.
So people go, so the Cowboys are your favorite team? I said, no.
Huh?
Tom Landry.
Tom Landry. Who's your favorite team?
Back then, Redskins.
Okay, wow.
That's a 180. That's a one. Jim,
yeah.
I'm glad they didn't put that in the movie.
Why the Redskins?
Because I'm a teenager and I'm obstinate and I want to do the exact opposite.
Mark May is a good buddy of ours. He's on the show. He was one of the Hogs. You know,
Field of Dreams. Line. Remember Field of Dreams? He wanted to be the. He didn't like Joe because of his dad.
Jim, do we need to go back and have the rookie part two? Show what we're doing now.
Yep. That would be incredible.
And you know, we'll do this part of the show. We'll be in the movie, and you know who plays me? Denzel.
Oh, there we go.
That's exactly right. Do you see it?
Okay.
You see it?
Okay, we're on radio. I'm not trying to get in trouble.
Yes.
He was actually one of the people up for my part.
Is that right?
And they were going to use mirrors and all kinds of stuff. God, what's his name? The other dude that did all the baseball movies, Costner.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and the baseball players go, if you have Costner play you in another baseball movie, we will hunt you down. So,
He has been in a couple. I think, you know, having watched the movie for the first time last night, I'm the same age you are, I thought Dennis Quaid was perfect. I thought he was perfect. He looked the perfect, you know, and he's got a likability and a connection, you know, that you just feel like, hey, I could imagine him being you, you know.
Well, the one thing I loved about Dennis was when he signed on, he goes, Jimmy, if you see anything being filmed that you do not agree with, tell me.
That's awesome. That had to make you feel tremendous.
Absolutely.
Well, this guy right over there, this is the GM of Oakland. Look, he's wearing his Yankees. He's wearing his Yankee gear.
There you go.
I was just telling them when they need to come back while horse season is in and watch the horses train, and it's beautiful. Yeah,
I
it's beautiful.
It is. It looks,
maybe we can book you to speak somewhere back here again where it can work out between November and May to do that. So,
Love to come back.
A great story you can tell. You're a good guy, you know, and what a pleasure to meet you, Jim. I look forward to you knocking these folks off their feet today with something inspirational.
Oh, and we're going to have fun.
Yeah, gotcha. And Sean, great to have you too.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what a great story. Jim Morris, the rookie. All right, we'll take a break.